All right, if you have your handout, I want you to take a look at it, and I want you to change the date where it says January the 3rd and put January the 10th. And don't lose them. We're going to do something different for a cause of time. And I want you to get those sheets out that we also handed out. If you didn't get one, we'll make sure you get one, the full-page sheet, where I wrote a little letter, Dear Harvest Baptist Church family. And you don't have the dates on yours, okay? I just have it on mine. So if you don't have the date on the handout you got tonight, go ahead and put January the 10th. Don't lose it. Let me stay cheap and not have to print more. And where is my honor part two? There are a few more out there on the table. Bridget, if you'll grab those and just hold on to next week in case somebody forgets or somebody that's not here tonight is here next week. And we'll just move that to next week. And open your Bibles to the book of Timothy. And if you have your letter that I wrote, Dear Harvest Baptist Church family, you'll get that out. And keep your finger there and turn back to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. And we'll read these couple of scriptures, and then we'll just read this letter and talk to you a little bit tonight. I hope you know my heart. I've tried to be as transparent as I can, as I have been, as I can over the last almost year. We're coming up on a year that we've been here. But sometimes I think we forget about ministry. For lack of better words, it's a two-way street. It's cooperation. It's working together. It's not the expectation of the pastor doing the work, the deacons doing the work, and others. And I'm glad to say haven't had that here. But people pitching in and getting involved, it's a blessing. But at the same time, I want to remind you of a few things of the importance of cooperation. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse number 1. Paul is writing here to the Thessalonians, and I just want to kind of pluck out a thing here. I don't think I'm going to do any harm to Scripture by any means, as it talks about the second coming, but this part about prayer, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, and that we may deliver from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And then over in 1 Timothy chapter number 3, again, I'm putting some things on me and my shoulders. This is a true saying, if a man desire an office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop must then be blameless, husband of one wife, a vigilant, sober, good behavior, given hospitality, and apt to teach. And the bar is very clearly set for the pastor and deacons in the Word of God. There's guidelines laid out for them. But we also need to make sure we understand some of those guidelines. We see the word above reproach. Brother Hoddy, if I've offended you and I don't know about it and you don't tell me, I'm still above reproach because I don't know. But if I do know and I don't make it right, then that puts me in a position that I'm not above reproach as a minister. In fact, we can go even forward with a Christian. We should do all we can to make sure we take short accounts. But that's an example of that being above reproach. As a pastor, I live in a fishbowl. It can be very difficult, and I've shared this with you before, but I have a desire, and I want you to understand, that's why I want to read this letter with you again. I read it once last year, just briefly. I've added a few things to it. I obviously missed a few mistakes. I'm not going to point them out, but I will try to read them the way they should be printed. But dear Harvest Baptist Church family, I need each of you. Full stop. I do. There's no question. I cannot be an effective pastor, effective shepherd, but without your support, your help, I do need you. None of us can do without the rest of us. I am taught in the Word of God that I am a member of the body of Christ, and every member of the body needs every other member of that body. And I can honestly tell you, when I know you're hurting, I hurt. And it should be the same way within our congregation when we have a discomfort, a pain, a difficulty, whether it be physical or whether it be emotional. Next, specifically, this is true because I am the leader that God's people at Harvest Baptist Church chose to be their pastor. There are a few things that I have discovered about my need of you. First, if a leader builds followers, he builds a more secure foundation under himself. Vital in leadership. Likewise, if a follower helps to build his leader, he builds a more secure, more sure building above himself. In order for me to be the best leader I can be, I must be the best followers I must build the best followers I can build. Therefore, I need you as you need me. Folks, I don't study in order to preach just to check a box that I fulfill my obligation. It's a study, a time of preparation, a time to consider and looking, Lord, what does our church family need? There may be times that I am preaching and teaching, and I know in my own heart that I am speaking to a small percentage of the church because they're the ones that are in need, but still this is what God wants me to do. I need to do it. I mean, right now when I refer to, and I have to be careful, but I think I know Mike and Crystal's heart, but when I get on sometimes a younger generation, they are the youngest in the church. But I think they know I'm not attacking them. But there may be times where I'm more preaching to their level and younger in the church and sometimes the older. But at the same time, if we think about it, it will still come together where it will help me, maybe not today, but maybe tomorrow. In other words, I'm forearmed. Second, I am determined to learn from you. And boy, have I learned. I am trying to remember and adopt this motto, every man knows something that I do not know. I must explore it until I find it. Therefore, all men are my teachers. I seek to listen, read, and ask questions to find what I believe is the best for my followers and then pass that information on to you or onto them. I need you to teach me. I enjoy our men's fellowships on Tuesday mornings. I enjoy our fellowships that we have on Sunday night, Wednesday night. I enjoy when we get together for a meal or a cup of coffee. And you'll often notice, don't get paranoid, but you'll often notice sometimes I don't have a word to say. I'm just listening. Because I learn a little more about you as you talk and as I listen as each other. And sometimes I get some good sermon illustrations. Amen. Number three, or third, I do not desire to criticize you, for you are me and I am you. We are the same body. When I criticize you, I criticize myself. When I tear you down, I tear down myself. There's times that I will have to rebuke. That's not criticism. There's times I may have to address circumstances and situations, sometimes one-on-one, sometimes in a group, sometimes from the pulpit. That's not criticism. Criticism falls more in the line of gossip and things of that nature, talking critical about someone else. Next paragraph under third. We are the same body. We are to function together because we need each other. And one day we can tear down someone with responsibility and influence and do more harm in that one day to the cause of Christ than any good that that person could do in a lifetime. It happens. Scandalous things happen or are exaggerated or they're not true, and it could hurt. How much have we seen lately in the news where some of our politicians are being swatted? There's no truth for the reason why the group had to go there, the SWAT team had to go there, and the police had to go there. It's just causing harassment, taking on the spiritual side. We need to make sure we have all the facts, and I'll get some more of that here in just a few moments. But then again, as I mentioned, we are of the same body. We are to grieve for one another, pray for one another, and hurt for one another, and try to be as empathetic as we possibly can. Fourth, I need your forgiveness when I fail, as you need mine. Folks, I'm not perfect. Though I may have a desire, any minister, to live above reproach, it doesn't necessarily mean that we're elevated and put up on a pedestal. Because if you're not careful, when you do, when your heroes fall, how bad does it hurt? There's a fine line, I think, sometimes, especially within our Baptist world today and across other denominations, there's a fine line between love, respect, being together, and honor, and then hero worship. There is a difference. You can respect someone and honor someone and not put them on the pedestal as hero worship. Because when they do fall, it hurts even more so. But then again, I will fail and I will make mistakes just as you will. And I promise you that I will forgive you. None of us are perfect, but we serve a perfect God who can and will help us to forgive one another. In fact, the best way to handle that when you're offended is just forgive before you even asked. Why wait and hold a grudge until they ask for forgiveness? Why not just give it to the Lord? I'm so glad that he's forgiven me. Next paragraph. We all need each other. The follower needs a leader. The leader needs a follower. Because I need you, I must pray for you. I must not criticize you. I must love you. I must forgive you, even when you don't ask for forgiveness. I must build you up. I must edify you. For you are me and I am you, and we need each other. Closing comments. I need your cooperation and ministry, but let me add another thing. I need your cooperation in ministry as well as and ministry. I need your prayers. I need your help. I need your confidence. I need you to come to me if there is something that is not right that you know. Therefore, let us love each other, pray for each other, encourage each other, and forgive each other, for you need me, and most certainly, I need you. And this is how we as a church body, and as we grow, and as our congregation grows, that's why probably something I need to file and read every year at the beginning of the year and go over as our church grows, because we forget. Sometimes we're not careful, we grow apart instead of growing together. But eventually, as we grow as a church and we get to know each other, it becomes sometimes even scary. They be almost kind of like, well, we know our spouse. I mean, Michelle can start a phrase and I can finish it for her and her me. In fact, she gets up most mornings, she already knows what I want for breakfast. I mean, no, I didn't even tell her the night before because I always want meat, potatoes, and eggs for breakfast. But I don't get what I want every day for breakfast. But what I'm saying is, as we spend time together, we learn and we know each other better. And we can finish each other's sentences. And we even have a sense of knowing when there's a need. Let me challenge you and encourage you. The next time the Lord puts somebody on your heart, whether it be your pastor or somebody in your church congregation, reach out to them. Go ahead and pray for them. There's a reason why God laid them on your heart. It could be a need. It could be a struggle they're going through. It could be a number of things. And just that phone call, that text message of encouragement can make all the world a difference. Because as we grow together spiritually, as our church grows together numerically, and we get to know each other even better and know each other more, there's a sense that we get in reference to one another as we pray for one another. We all have unknown requests. It's on our prayer list, unspoken. Make sure you don't skip over that. Because there are things on the hearts of your people, your pastor, your neighbor that sits here with you across in front of you, the pew that probably has something on their heart that they may not have shared or may be hesitant to share at this time. But God knows exactly what it is. Because we are a body, a church body. And if we come and stay to the point of that honor and respect toward one another as that honor that we've talked about for several weeks, I think God will not only draw us closer together, and God will also allow us to see past things that aren't important. And God will also allow us to see a difference in the impact in the communities as we reach others. And I mentioned this the other day. It thrills my soul when I'm anywhere with any part of our church family, just me and another couple, or Michelle and I, or a few more couples, when people ask, are y'all a church group? That thrills my soul because of our conversation, how we love each other. It tells them something about us. And that's how God's going to use us to make a difference in this wicked world that we live in, even if it's just one soul at a time. I was told a long time ago how to eat a whole cow, one steak at a time, or one hamburger at a time, however you want to say it. But it's day by day, step by step, as we cross each one, and God will honor that, God will use it, God will bless us, and we'll see a big difference. Amen? Amen. I love you. Appreciate you very much. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll be dismissed. Father, we love you so much and thank you for your goodness and your blessings upon us, the joy of service, the joy of fellowship. Lord, thank you for my church family. I pray your blessings upon them. And once again, the requests that were made known tonight, Father, and even the unspoken, Lord, that were not written down. You know the needs and you know the hearts of your people. Father, I pray that your continued blessings on us here at Harvest as we go forward in this new year of 2024. Lord, may we be prepared and ready to serve you with all of our might, with all of our soul, with all of our strength. And Father, help us most of all strive to be right with you and to please you. And Father, ask for your help for everything else to fall in place. Lord, we love you. We ask these things in Christ's name with thanksgiving. Amen. All right, again.